So our final storyteller this evening is Zach Yendra, and Zach owns Yendra Built. It's a custom bike building company right here in Fort Collins. You might have read about his participation recently in the Death Ride Tour that was in Bicycling Magazine. He also built those really cool like cargo bikes. If you've seen him at Equinox Brewing, he's the guy who's behind those. So give a big round of applause for Zach, our final storyteller of the evening.
Oh, hey guys. I also did these church pews right here. So, I love all the theme of the stories of people like without cell phones working and pre-Googling stuff, and that falls, and foreign travel, that falls right in line with my story. Except I wasn't traveling for college. I was traveling to smuggle drugs. So college is way overrated. I mean, come on, live a little bit, right? So it's 2004. I'm rocking, you know, baggy cargo shorts, a wife beater with a nice express button-up shirt over the top. I got a Fossil watch on one wrist and a matching bracelet on the other. To top off the whole look, a puka shell necklace. I'm your average Nebraska teenager. I worked at Hoo-Hot. Hoo-Hot was pretty progressive for Nebraska. I mean, you make your own Mongolian grill. And I worked at American Eagle, slanging clothes. I also hung out with coke dealers with gold teeth, threw lots of raging keggers, was wondering where all the acid went. I couldn't find acid anymore, and was looking for my next adventure. So, just your average, you know, 19-year-old. I was faced with a really, really tough decision that summer of 2004. I could either go to a music festival with my hippie drug dealing roommates, or I could go to Canada to try to smuggle some drugs across the border with my white trash thuggish friends. And fast forward a few weeks, we're crossing the border of Waterton, like just south of Waterton, Canada, into Glacier National Park on the Montana border. My buddy in the passenger seat has a horrible swollen black eye, scabs forming on his face, a fat lip, contraband, there's none. The buddy that's with us, that was the start of the trip, not there. Two of us coming home. So I feel like, you know, rites of passage is something that this culture kind of misses out on. I could thank Christianity for that. Like, we used to have all these cool, you know, vision quests and stuff, and where we'd like, I think it was all to establish gut instincts. You know, like, go fight a lion. Now I'm surviving getting jumped at a party. Like, it's a, you know, I looked at it really similar. I feel that everyone needs that vision quest, and you've got to establish that feeling and how to cope with life, living past your teenage years, because that's just a tiny little bit on the radar. Some people don't make it out of that death spiral of thrill-seeking of teenage life. Some people don't learn anything from it, and other people come out stronger and better and with skills to use in life. So we're starting the trip. I decide that, you know, my friends are very unreliable. They are super trashy. I basically came along as the guy, because I was like the shaggy-haired puka necklace guy. So if we were throwing a kegger and the party got busted, the people came to find me to talk to the cops. If we were driving in an uninsured, unregistered vehicle with a bunch of blow and got pulled over at 3 a.m., I was the one that came up with the story for the cops. Nobody else talk, I've got this. So that was kind of my role. So that was my role on this trip too. I'm the driver, I'm the guy that's gonna be, if we get into trouble, you guys shut the fuck up, I'm talking. All right, I don't want you guys to even look at anybody. I've got this. Great plan. So I think, all right, you guys look horrible. This is a bad idea all around. I already have bad gut feelings. Let's make it look like we're going camping. So I load up my totally rad custom Ford Ranger with a mountain bike. I have like a sick Trek full suspension mountain bike. So I was, you know, into biking then. And I had, you know, every cooler of assorted color and sizes and every fishing pole and tackle box and sleeping bag and tent that I could find. And I pack my Ford Ranger with this stuff in the bed. And we hit the road. It's a 1,600 miles to Edmonton. I don't know why somebody knew somebody in Edmonton, whatever. Seemed like a fantastic idea. We go. We're going through Nebraska. Nebraska's a long state. The only hiccups is there's a funny noise in the front end of the truck. I'm like, okay, weird noise, man. This is odd. I should, like, check this out. since we have a lot more miles to drive. Lucky for me, a year and a half earlier, I was going to WyoTech in Laramie for auto body repair, and I just walked out of class. I was like, I'm done. I got sick. I was like, I'm not going to go to the school anymore. Went back to Nebraska. Well, I find myself at, like, you know, 3 in the morning in the panhandle of Nebraska. I mean, like, well, class starts at 7. It's Thursday. Well, it's Friday morning right now. I'm like, I could just go to my old school and fix my truck. So I show up at WyoTech, and we pulled into the parking lot at, I don't know, like, you know, 4 or 5 in the morning. We sleep in the truck for a little bit, and my instructor was like, Yendra, what the fuck are you doing here? Like, if anybody, the last person I could ever imagine just walk, like, what are you doing here? Well, my truck's not working right, and we're just camping. So I was wondering if I could, like, fix my truck, you know? And he obliged. He's like, cool, pulled in. I put it up on the lift, instantly found the problem. I was at the front differential fluid was low. Borrowed someone's car that I didn't know, went to the parts store, got some gear oil, filled it back up, boom, we're on the road. I'm like, all right, gut feeling's a little worse now. Ah, man, that was bad. That was just an odd thing to just lose your gear oil in your front diff. We're driving through Wyoming, and I noticed that when I would stop at gas stations and I'd back up, I could hear like a faint grinding. I'm like, where the hell is that noise coming from? It's not the front diff. It's got oil in it now. It's something else. It's only in reverse. We drive into Montana. I think we're in Billings at this point. And the noise is so bad that it, like, stopped the truck in reverse. Okay, guys, I'm sorry. I got to call this. We have to stay in Billings. I have to fix, like, once again, look at my truck in the morning. I don't know if it's something to do with the CV shafts, the front diff. Who knows? We pull into some like, truck stop diner. We're making a plan, looking for a cheap hotel. Pre-Google and smartphones. So we're, like, calling with a phone book. And leaving the diner after we find the shittiest, cheapest hotel, I'm backing up, and my tire blows on the front. Like, and it didn't just pop. Like, the air just gushed out of it. Like, what the hell? Well, good thing I'm a gearhead. I know how to fix shit. So we unpack all, you know, I get my spare tire out. I change my tire. We're going down the road, and my tire is horribly wobbly. Like, there's no way I can drive on the interstate with this spare tire, spare wheel. I was in that fender bender. I totally forgot. Like, a few months earlier, I was on lunch break, and some old man in a Buick LeSabre was hauling ass, and I'm seeing him. I'm like, this guy is not... Nope, he's not stopping. And he smashed into a Ford Probe that was behind me, and that Ford Probe probed my truck straight. I mean, this Ford Probe with the super aero front end just jammed straight under the rear end of my truck. And I was like, guys, I'm a lunch break, man. Someone's trying to buy weed at my house. Like, I gotta get home. I don't got time for this shit. And I'm looking, I'm like, my truck's fine. I mean, it just, like, slid under the bumper. It bit my license plate. Whatever, cool. I gave my statement to the police, whatever, just went on my way. Well, that Ford Probe bent the shit out of my spare tire. Because the spare tire is up underneath the truck bed, and that probe was like, rah! Bent the spare wheel. So it's Saturday morning now in Billings, Montana. I'm like, I don't need one wheel. I need two. I need two wheels and tires to finish this trip. So luckily, I find this super nice old man that owned a small tire shop in Billings. It was open on a Saturday. and I bought two new wheels and tires. It was a four-wheel drive truck, and like driving thousands of miles, you don't want different size wheels and tires. They were anyway on the front, were smaller. So now, I mean, this is a custom truck. Like, it's got, I had shaved door handles because I did stupid stuff when I was a teenager, you know, like trying to make my truck super rad. So now it looks extra horrible with these different wheels on the front and two broken flat wheels and tires in the truck bed. I'm like, God, we are raising red flags like crazy now. Gut feeling is way worse. Man, it's bad now. We keep trucking. I'm not gonna stop. So my gut feeling is so bad. I make my buddies, I'm like, guys, I'm sorry, we're not taking any paraphernalia across the border into Canada. And they're like, oh, come on, man, dude. I'll throw my favorite glass piece, dude. Whatever. I'm like, no, I think someone brought a bong, you know, because you're grabbing your like 5 220 CD books, you know, because you got so many CDs to listen to. I could take my glass bong too, why not? So I make them, and so we smoked all the weed we had. And I remember like clearly we're not gonna just waste it. We're gonna smoke the shit out of that weed. So we were just like, I remember pulling up and getting like some Swisher Sweets, you know, and rolling blunts and just like, oh God, I don't even want to smoke weed anymore, but whatever, we have to. There's no other option. So my buddies reluctantly throw their pipe. I think we actually left a pipe at a gas station. Like, hey, we got a little pipe. Someone's gonna get gas and be like, oh, a weed pipe sitting there, cool. Which I actually found one time at a gas station, so that's karma. We're approaching the border, empty-handed, clean. I vacuumed the truck because there were so much weed crumbs in that before we left. I mean, my truck is clean. Good, smooth sailing. We're approaching the border of Clout, Canada, Alberta, on this Montana-Canadian border. And I see helicopters and stuff. I'm like, God, what the hell is this shit? Great. We pull up. It's the grand fucking opening of a new border crossing. It's like this weekend is the unveiling. They are unveiling a new border crossing. I mean, there's news crews there. There's like every type of law enforcement imaginable. You know, this is in the short years after 9/11 where people were like super bumping up border security. And Canada's like, yay, we got a great new border crossing, huh? What you think about that? Well, we raised a rainbow of flags when we pulled into this border crossing, and they're like, yes. I mean, it was like wolves circling an injured moose. They're like, we are gonna eat tonight. And we pull in, I mean, they instantly were like, get out of your truck. We're searching your vehicle. Okay. And I'm trying to just be like, puka shell necklace, like, don't worry about it, guys. You know, make a small talk with everybody, like, oh, shit's cool, it's cool. Oh, we're just camping. We're just going along with that fishing, biking adventure. They proceed to, like, I remember pulling the truck into this big garage, brand new garage, it was nice. And on this, there's this wall of tools. I mean, there's, like, hacksaws and every single tool to dismantle a vehicle. And I'm thinking, what the hell are they even looking for going into Canada? I mean, come on, what are we taking there? So they put zip tie handcuffs on us, like loose. They weren't tight, but they were loose. They weren't like, I mean, they're Canadian, so they're still way friendly. And we had to sit. I'm just basically at this point, I'm like, you guys can't talk. Act like you can't speak, because don't look at anybody, look at the ground, don't talk. I do the talking. Didn't work at this point anyway. So we're standing in this room, in this glass room. They pull my truck into this garage with these fancy tools, and they completely dismantle the thing. I mean, every single, and they don't just like look through your bags. They're like, bags, throw them off. So this is a team of Border Patrol agents and their dogs in my truck. They tear up my carpet. I mean, like behind my glove box, like, every single way, they're like, why do you have all these extra wheels and tires in your truck? It's a long story, sir. Well, whatever. They don't find any. Well, actually, they did find one empty bag of weed. Didn't have anything in it. They were like, I could tell they were so pissed. So I was being just extra friendly, like, oh, you're gonna let us keep on our camping trip now? I didn't find anything. I told you. Should have listened to me, you jerks. You wasted like 4 hours doing this shit. So, but they don't repack your stuff. At this point, like, all of our stuff is mixed together. I mean, it's just in a huge pile, like, outside the truck, so we repack our trucks as slow as we could, too. I was not going to make a speedy exit of that place. I was like, I'm going to take my time. We're hitting the road. We're gone. We're through the border, but we're in Canada. We made it. My buddy is like, I need some weed now. And I'm like, you know, I could smoke a joint right now, too, because I'm, like, kind of a little amped up about that border crossing thing. So, like, our first stop in Canada, he's approaching some random dude to, we, like, follow some guy at a gas station to his dealer's house and buy some pot so we can, like, smoke the rest of the way to Edmonton. We get to Edmonton, finally. Late Saturday night. We roll into this kind of shady apartment with super shady dudes that I don't know. And at this point, I'm like, just get this trip over with. I'm so over these guys that I'm with and this whole idea. Why don't I just follow my gut instincts? It's a stupid, stupid, stupid idea. So I just want to, like, stay out of the dealing business, although I can't help but help them with math. I'm like, guys, you know, you're like, you're there. I feel like they thought they were going to get much better deals with drugs in Canada, but I think their exchange rates and weights were just off. I'm like, we're dealing with pounds. They're dealing with kilograms and Canadian dollars, and really, it's not that great of a deal. Like, when you really start crunching, I'm like writing this down. I'm like, guys, this isn't that great of a deal. Like, we could have got this in Omaha. Way cheaper trip. So I was like, you know what? I'm 19. I'm in Canada. We can party. And Edmonton is a big city. I mean, it is like almost a million people or something. Big college town, college city. So I'm like, man, I'm gonna make the most of this. I'm gonna go out and just rage. I'm gonna go to some clubs, just get Canada crazy. So I plan out on this is Sunday. I'm like, whatever. We missed the weekend because of all these stupid stops we had to make on the way. Sunday night, let's see what Sunday night in Edmonton has to offer. So I plan out this elaborate. No Google, no smartphones. I plan out this elaborate, like, pedestrian bridge to bus stop, whatever, to get us downtown. And for whatever reason, like, we start running. Like, I'm running over a pedestrian bridge. And we're young men, so we're stupidly competitive. And my friend is trying to chase after me. He's horribly uncoordinated. And he just eats shit right on his face. Like, he tripped over his clumsy feet and just landed, like, skidded on his face. So now I'm like, I am never gonna get any Canadian ass with you guys. Like, it's never gonna happen now. I mean, you look like you just got beat up. Your other guy, he's just trashy. This is a bad idea. So we get to the first club, and his face looks really bad by now. And I instantly am like, not with those guys. We go to another club, waiting outside in lines. I spark the interest of a bachelorette party, who, to me, as a 19-year-old, these women are like my mom, because they were in their 30s and 40s. They were ancient. But I was like, whatever. They thought I was cool, because I was from America or something. So I ended up partying with these ladies, and I totally ditched my friends at this point. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to see where this night takes me. It's going to get crazy. I hopped to a few different clubs with this bachelorette party, ended up making out with like some 45-year-old woman on the dance floor. Go back. Next thing, we're like going to their party bus, and they're like, oh, the party bus. Me and the bus driver are the only guys on the bus. I was like, God, how am I ever going to find, oh, well, fuck it. I don't care. I'm having fun. Sweet, let's see where this goes. Bus starts going. The bus driver was a stripper. Bus stops. Crazy disco lights come on. Music changes. Bus driver's like, woo! And I'm like, are you kidding me? This is wild. My buddies are never gonna believe me that this happened. So bus driver does his routine, the girls are going nuts, they're like trying to get me to strip, and I'm like, no, I'm cool. I'm not stripping for you guys. I ditched them at the next club. I was like, cool. From then it got a little blurry. I wake up on a couch the next morning, and some girls like offer me water. I'm like, oh God, what the hell happened? Canada's crazy. Then there's like two other chicks making breakfast. I'm like, sweet, man, awesome. I get some eggs and bacon in the morning, and I'm kind of like, I vaguely remember one of them, like maybe. Well, I'm in an overflow sorority house. Like, oh God, this is just getting wild. I apparently fell asleep in their car too, passed out in their driveway, and they like helped me get inside, and I just fell asleep on the couch. They're like, oh, you're so sweet, Arda. But they're like, we have to go to class. It's like Monday. So I've, you know, once again, pre-smartphones, I have no idea where I'm at in Edmonton. And I'm like, oh my God, I have to like find this apartment we were at, this trashy apartment. So I remember like from my homework of like pedestrian bridges and bus stops, I kind of knew where I was at, and I ended up being fairly close to where the sorority house was. So I get back to the apartment, all my friends were like kind of pissed, and I told them what happened, they were like, not so pissed, it's kind of cool. Various dealers are coming over, showing their products, all the stuff, whatever. We decide that weed was not a good idea. Like I said, the exchange rate's not good. Mushrooms is where it was at. So we ended up with like a shitload of mushrooms, like 5 pounds. We tried them, they totally worked. They worked great. So we spent another day or two there, and I start, now my gut feeling is like, I just want this over. I'm so done with this trip. These guys are the worst. Just take me back to Nebraska. Never thought I'd say that. I come up with this elaborate plan. Because I'm not going through, the last border crossing experience was horrible. It's like, there's no way in hell I'm crossing the border with a bunch of mushrooms. Because these are like bad controlled substance. I mean, like worse than pot. Might as well have a bunch of coke in your car. So my plan is, well, Glacier National Park is like a international park that's part in Canada, part in Montana. And I think, all right, guys, we're gonna find the most in shape, trustworthy Canadian out of this group of kind of dirty hippies to ride my fancy mountain bike over the border with my backpack full of mushrooms, and we'll pick him up on the other side. Ah, it's perfect, it's great, fantastic, cool, great, let's do it, let's go. So we're taking this guy, this Canadian dude, and we were like gonna pay his bus to like get back to Edmonton. It was a long drive to the border from Edmonton. We're in this tiny town of Waterton, and a blizzard comes in. And I think it was August. Horrible blizzard moves in, and he's out on my bike. I mean, this is like a $2,000 mountain bike, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm never gonna see that bike again. You fuckers owe me a mountain bike if he doesn't come back. Like, I don't even care about your mushrooms. You owe me a mountain bike. So we end up, you know, there's no cell service, nothing. We drop him off. He's like riding in a blizzard on my mountain bike with a backpack full of mushrooms. And we start driving to the border, which was like the border crossing was closed at some stupid time at the Glacier National Park. So we had to drive like way east to hit another border crossing and then way backtrack, no way to contact him. So we're like, oh God, this is horrible. Now my gut is really feeling bad. I mean, I'm like lion stalking bad gut feelings now. I called it again. I was like, there's no way he's gonna make it over the border. No way in hell. Let's turn around. I was like, we gotta go back to Waterton. So we go back to Waterton and just wait for a phone call. You know, like hopefully he'll call. We end up at this hole-in-the-wall bar, this tiny town in Waterton, and we just got hammered with the locals, and it was awesome. And I remember thinking, like, dude, these, like, small-town mountain folk are pretty rad, and we're smoking joints with some people outside, and like, dude, your Canadians are pretty cool, after all. Well, the dude calls us. He finally calls, I guess, some random number from some, I don't know, who knows who. I answer it, and he's like, hey, hi, yeah, what you doing, eh? The storm came in, and I'm stuck. So he starts, so go to his story now. He's riding my mountain bike, trying to find this like trail that goes over the country border. And he realizes that there's no way in hell he's going to make it. So he did the same. He called it. He's like, I got to just go back. And by then it was like sleeting hard and just like horrible, horrible storm. And there's like a cabin. There's like some cabins and stuff in this area. And some people were like, what are you doing out here? Like, what are you doing mountain biking right now? It's like getting dark and it's in a blizzard. Like, get in our house. And it's this elderly couple who was an ex, he was a sheriff, it turns out. He was like a, you know, because like the old guy at the national park can like, you know, has his like sheriff badge. He's like, oh, sheriff, I'm a retired sheriff, but I still do my sheriff stuff. So they like wash his clothes and like feed him and give him hot cocoa and stuff. And he's like, I'll leave my bag outside. Don't worry about it. Like, I'll just leave it outside. And they were super sweet. And we had to just leave him there because like the road was closed. We couldn't go pick him up. So I was like, well, we'll come find you in the morning, I guess. So we proceeded to get hammered with the locals. We rented this like little cabin in town and stayed there for the night. I woke up horribly hungover, like stopping, puking out of my truck, hungover. And at that point, I was like, God damn it. I am done with this. I am over it. I'm done. I'm not doing this shit anymore. Like, you couldn't have made up a story like this for as many of things that have gone wrong. So I left my buddy with my backpack full of mushrooms in Canada. I just left him there with this other guy. I took my mountain bike back, though. I got that. But I was like, and he, the look on his face and my other friend were kind of like, what? I was like, yeah, dude, I'm going home. I'm like, you guys can figure it out. Like, my buddy Nate was like, you can come with me if you want. You can stay here. I'm totally done with this. So I did. My friend Nate was like, well, I don't really have another ride, so I guess I'll come with you. So he hopped in my truck. We left this Canadian hippie and this trashy dude with a bunch of mushrooms at the border, and we drove back to Nebraska. And the border crossing in this Glacier National Park was like, the guys were comical. It was like your stereotypical Canadian National Park border crossing guys. You know, like, oh, what you doing? Oh, cool, got mountain biking, eh? And, you know, they see my buddy's face. It's all messed up. And I was like, mountain bike wreck. Don't talk, Nate. And, you know, they didn't even, like, we didn't even step out of the car. It was like, cool, there you go. See you later. So, I mean, we could have gone through the border with whatever we wanted, but I didn't. And that was a point in my life that I was like, I don't even think I talked to him on the whole way home. 1,600 miles home, and I was like, I'm not even talking to you. I'm so over this. And I should follow my gut instinct from now on. So that was my rite of passage.